Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. Y'all out there?
Amen.
If y'all don't talk to me, I'll come out there and sit in your lap now. I'll tell you right now. I'll come out there and sit with you. Then you'll have to talk to me. But, do what? Oh, well, whatever it is. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. My name is Gray Savage. Find my handkerchief, find my stuff over there. I'm helpless. I got to have five people to help me do my stuff. Man, my arm's all messed up. But thank you, man. We want to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight and being in your service and everything and try to share with you the City of Refuge. My name is Gray Savage, and this is my wife, Jatana. I call her Kitty. I can't never get her name out right because can't nobody call her Kitty but me. You have to call her Miss Savage. And but that's Kitty. That's Danny Ray and Miss Sherry. They live at the home. They're at the City of Refuge. They live our 24/7. So you pray for them as we try to do the work that God's called us to do. How many of y'all got 12 teenagers at home? Raise your hand. Nobody. Can you imagine what it would be like having 12 kids at home? Right? In this day and time that we live in? Much less 12 teenagers. I couldn't comprehend that. So you got to be a special person to do that kind of work. And you got to make sure you call to God, number one, or you won't be in it long. You'll be gone a long time ago if it ain't God's will in your life to do that work. And so you pray for us that we'll always do that what God would have us to do, and we'll always serve God and always stay dead center of God's will. I want to share with you a little bit about the City of Refuge. We've got a board out back, and we've got a lot of brochures and different things back there that could be a help to you. You might know of somebody that's got some kids that need some help, and you might could share some information with them. But a long, long time ago, I'm one of these people, you go back about 8 years ago, when Brother Buddy, my pastor's name is Buddy Hoffman, he came to me and told me, Grant, what I want you to do is I want you to go on deputation like a missionary, raise support for the City Refuge. So that's what I want you to do. He said, I prayed about it. I feel this is what God would have us to do. I said, okay, but unbeknownst to him, I could not stand a bunch of smart mouth, back talking teenagers, rude, disrespectful. I mean, just don't talk right, don't act right, don't dress right. I had a real problem with that. I had a real problem with that. Come on now. Y'all okay with it, I guess, huh? I had a real problem with that, and God knew I had a problem with it. So God had to work on me and try to get me straightened out in that area. And what I found to be true is that over a course of time, I've learned that our kids definitely have problems in the days that we live in. But it's not all their fault. The biggest problem, our kids' problems, is mom and daddy back at the house. You hear me? Now, I know people don't like that. I know that people don't like to be told that. But I had to realize that when I was raising my boys, that I didn't teach my sons about Jesus. I didn't raise my sons right. I didn't take them to the house of God. I didn't show them the ways of Jesus. I did not teach my children the ways of God. The Bible says, fathers, 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 bring your children up in a nurtured admonition of God. As I've studied the Word of God over a course of time, I've not found one place, listen to me, Daddy, I've not found one place in the Word of God that says, Mama, it's your job to train the children. I've not found it. Daddy, you're responsible for training your children up. Don't get quiet on me now. You mamas can say amen right there. That's right. But Daddy, over in the book of Ephesians, the Bible says, fathers, you train your children in the nurture and the admonition of God. You're to raise them. You're to teach them. You're to teach them the ways of God. You're responsible. And I know when I stand before God that I'm responsible for my two boys. I got one boy that's saved, one boy that's not. If I get a phone call tonight and Sterling was killed in a car wreck, I got a boy named Sterling be in hell tonight. And that'd be my fault. I'll take that strap off. Get that out of the way. But it'd be my fault because I didn't teach him right. We have a generation of children today that our parents are not raising them up in the nurture and admonition of God in the days that we live in. And Daddy, that's what we need to learn to do. And we have gotten away from that. We teach our children everything under the sun except teaching the ways of God. There's nothing wrong with teaching our boys how to mow grass and how to play ball and how to work in the yard. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But somewhere along the line, we need to teach them the ways of God. And that's what we're missing the boat. We're not teaching the ways of God. And so I learned a long time ago that the problem with the youth in America today, it's not all them. It ain't all them. Now, there is some cases. There is some. Whether that a family has raised their kids in church all their life, taught them about God, took them to church, at the time church doors was open, they were in the house of God. I do know that. And they didn't turn out right. But I'm talking to the folks in the church this afternoon that are like me, that you did not do that. See, I did not do that. But see, thank be unto God, God gives us always a place to restart. Amen. We can always go back to a place and start this thing all over again. What God shows us, this is what I expect of you, son. This is what I have you to do, son. Then we can go back and start all over again and teach our children and show our children the ways of God. We need to show our kids. Another thing that I'm taking off here. If that's all. I don't know where I'm going. I mean, I got some ideas up here, but another thing that we see in our society today, I don't know who this is for, it may be a help to you. But preacher, what we find is that we had a situation one time, preacher, a girl named Samantha in our home. She's from Georgia, Calhoun, Georgia. Her daddy was supposed to be a preacher in the church. Mama's a Sunday school teacher, sung in the choir, did all that sort of stuff. We've been down to the church many times in Georgia, Calhoun, Georgia. The pastor's real good friends of ours. Been down there many a times. Good church. Man, Brother Jason preaches. I mean, he preaches the truth up one side and down the other. But I said, Samantha's got problems. Samantha don't want to listen. She's disobedient. She won't do what we tell her. She don't listen to us. And we can't do nothing with her. Y'all need to help her. We said, well, we'll help her. We took her and brought her back with us. And she always told us, it ain't me. It's not me. And you just kind of said, well, I mean, her daddy's a preacher, her mom is a Sunday school teacher. You kind of said, well, well, it ain't me. I ain't doing nothing wrong. You know, that sort of thing. You know, you kind of hear that stuff a lot. But the end result was, she's finally told us when I said, look, here's the deal. When we go to church on Sunday mornings, my mama sings in the choir, waves her hand. Daddy jumps up down in the front pew down there. And when church is over, on the way home, they stop by the liquor store, pick them up a 12-pack, go to the house, drink the beer, smoke the pot, wait to go back to church on a Sunday night. There's the problem. There's the problem. You got a whole group of people in society today. See, I deal with kids. This is what we work on. And see, what I have to work on is I have to realize the fact that preacher's not always the youngins. We blame the kids too much. Now, they are problems. But how many times you tell your kid to do something and you do just the opposite? Oh, don't be doing this now. You can't be drinking. You got a fifth here in the cabinet. Hello? Don't get quiet on me now. You know I'm preaching right. We tell our kids don't do drugs. I know a family right now says we're saved on the way to heaven. Tells the kids don't do drugs. Don't smoke pot. They send the kids to bed. They go up to the bedroom, roll them up, and smoke them up. You smell it all over the house. They're Christians. They're on the way to heaven. That's what they tell everybody. But see, the kids knows what's going on. The kids knows what's going on. May I encourage you as a parent, be for real. You need to be real. You need to be real with your children. Don't tell your children don't do something you ain't willing not to do. If you ain't willing to lay down the fornicating, the adultery, the drinking, the drugs, they're not going to tell them that because they know you're doing it. Amen. Am I preaching to, am I being too blind? I don't want, I mean, I understand it. I mean, hey, you think your kids don't know what's going on? You're foolish. They know every man comes in and out of the house, every woman comes in and out of the house. Come on now. They know. They're not foolish. They know what's going on. But yeah, we tell our kids, well, this is what you're to do, this is what you're to do. And you wonder what's wrong with our children. You know what's wrong with our children? It's us. It's us. It's us. And that was a hard pill for me to swallow. Until God one day come to me and says, Gray Savage, the problem your son Sterling's got is you. You're the problem. What kind of life have you lived before your boys? And that's when I found out that I didn't get things right with God and turn this thing around and go back the other direction and try to be a witness and a testimony to my sons. To be that witness to them. Whether I could tell Trey and Sterling, all right, you shouldn't be doing this. They know daddy means what he says, and this is this way daddy lives. They know that's the way daddy lives. And so as time goes, we see that our biggest problem with our youth in America today is just not say, you can't point all your fingers at them. We got to learn to start pointing some fingers back at ourselves to understand that we sometimes have got the same problem that they've got. Let me go to the book of Ephesians real quick, chapter number 6. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to move right along real quick here. I'm going to give you a couple little things here. I'm going to keep right on moving. Now, if you ain't got a Bible, look to somebody that's got one. All you kids need to see this too. All you children. Get your Bible with your mom and daddy. I want you to look at what the Bible says. All you kids need to see this too. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right only when you think it's right. Y'all didn't say that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, period. You got a period in that sentence. Obey your parents in the Lord, children, period. Not if you don't think it's right. Not if you think they're wrong. Not if you think they're in style or out of style. Or because your friends don't like what your mama says. Or your friends don't like what they've said. You'll listen to your mom and daddy win, lose, or draw. You'll listen to your mom and daddy. Young man, you'll listen to your parents. I don't know who you are, so I see you looking at me somewhere. So I can see you real good right there, right between them two. But you listen to your parents, don't make no difference. Whether you like it or not. See, God put them in charge of your life. They're to oversee you, to take care of you, to provide for you, to teach you the ways of God. You listen and obey your parents. Your girl's right back there. You listen to your parents. See, I told you I'll get right down where we all live. Sometimes they ain't right. Sometimes you think they ain't right. I don't like what they said. It really doesn't matter what you think. Don't get quiet on me now. It really don't matter what you think. Because once you've got your own children, then God will put you in charge of them and you'll train and teach them the ways of God. Teach them. Your parents have been around a while. They know the right ways and the wrong ways of life. You'll be thankful you got somebody to bring you to the house of God. There's a kazoo children in this world doesn't even know what a church looks like, much less ever been in one. In America, not in foreign countries. But the Bible says, children, you'd obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, period. We'll listen to our family. We'll listen to our parents. Verse number 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If I could tell anybody in the days that we live in, if I could say anything, there's a generation that's coming up that's looking for some people that are real. Some people that are real. And if your children doesn't see that you're real, guess where they're going? They're going somewhere else. I don't want my children going to the neighbor, to their buddy's daddy, and asking him advice. I want my sons coming to me, talking to me about things. I don't want them going down to the neighbor's house and asking their daddy about some advice or something like that. I want them coming to me. We got a generation growing up that we need some mamas and daddies that are real. Real. And then top that off, let me go one more step further with that. We also live in a generation today, we got grandparents raising the grandyoungins. I know about that. And I understand all that. I understand all that. I had a woman one time say, well, they ain't my kids, I ain't raising them. Well, let the devil raise them, but he'll take them on to hell then if you don't want to raise them. If our kids won't raise them, then grandma and grandpa, they step up to the plate. And look out for these kids coming up. These kids need somebody they can look up to. Somebody they got faith in. Somebody they can trust. Somebody they can depend on. Somebody they know when they can come to them anytime they want to, that they're there for them, to help them, to be there for them, wherever they need somebody to help them. But they're looking for somebody that is real in this day that we live in. Amen. We need some men and women that are real. The real deal. In these days that we live in. Or we'll lose another generation. Don't go look at, don't go say, what would I go wrong? If you want to know where you've gone wrong, look in the mirror. I know I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I know I have. I've asked God a million times to forgive me. I know He has. But for the rest of my days, some way, somehow, I'm going to be the real deal. Well, my sons can look at their daddy and know their daddy's real. They can count and depend on their daddy for advice and instructions to get through this sin-sick world that we live in. That's what we're needing. I said all that to say this. 8 years ago, Brother Buddy put me with the city refuge. Try to raise support and to fund the city refuge and get the ministry off the ground and get it running. I don't know how many of y'all know my pastor's name is Buddy Hoffner, but my pastor's goal in life many years ago, well, about, how long has he been pastor now? How long has he been saved? 29 years? 78. Back when he was a young boy, my pastor's goal in life was to be the biggest drug dealer in Rowan County. That was his goal. And that's what he set out to do. Unbeknown to him, God had a whole different plan in store for him. He wound up in a Raleigh prison selling drugs. He wound up pulling time. The very first time my preacher ever heard the word of God ever preached was that a yoke fell in a prison. Y'all do any prison? Anybody ever go to prisons? Don't any prison work? We do a lot of prison work down our way too. But he went to a yoke fella. He went to a yoke fella one night to give him a cup of coffee and a donut. A big old black preacher was in our preacher, ripped, snorting and a spitting. Jesus is the only way. Repent. Repent. Or you shall likewise perish. He heard the message of the gospel for the first time. Way back then. That message never left him the whole time he spent in prison. Got out of prison. Went out of prison tore for long. God last set him up and saved him. Called him to preach 7 years later. went to Bible college, and as the story go on, and as time went on, he had a desire in his heart to have something for children, to have a place where kids could go to get some help. Because see, as a drug dealer, he sold a lot of drugs to kids. Guess where he sold them at? The malls. Parents, please, please, think twice before you hand your kid a 20 and drop them off at the malls out catching a couple hours. Please, please rethink that. Years ago, I had some arcades up in the Lexington area. I had to put police officers on the property to keep the drug dealers away. Don't take your kids and give them a 20 and take them to the arcade and say, here, I'll catch you in a couple hours. The drug dealer's going to get the money. The drug dealer's going to get the money. But he wouldn't have a place for kids. He could be a help for kids. And God began to burn his heart to have a place called the City Refuge. And as years have passed, in 1980, God began to burn his heart about what he wanted to do and about the children's home and different things like that. In 1996, God gave him the go-ahead. To go ahead and build a place called a City Refuge. Well, we had several things had to be done first. Number one, we had to, first of all, got the preacher on our property. We got all that stuff back on our board. We got the preacher there on the property, put his house there, got that all up and going, got that all took care of. And second thing, we had to have a school. See, we also know another principle in life, society today, is that the public school system will ruin your children. Do you hear what I said? The public school system will ruin your children. The public school system is a cesspool of homosexuality, lesbianism, drugs, alcohol, you name it. It's in the schoolhouse. You say, not my school. Oh, yeah. No, I got an elementary school. Oh, yeah. Don't think the elementary schools are exempt from it. It's every school system. The government is constantly pushing the homosexual agenda in elementary grades. The elementary grades is reading stories about Sally's two mommies. That's in elementary schools. So we realized there was a problem there. We couldn't help them much if they knew the public school system around the clock. So we had to have a school. So we got a school up and running. Got that all going, and that way we could watch over them 24/7. I know that can't everybody homeschool or private school their kids, but I would challenge you. I would challenge you. If you can get your kids out of the public school system, you can go a long ways with your children. You'll do more good for them than you could ever imagine by getting them out of the public school system. And get them in some other place where they can be taught the right ways of God, the true ways of God, the ways of our country, the ways of America, not the ways of what our government is trying to shove down everybody's throats. Well, I guess I better move on. All right, well, I'm sorry then. I don't mean to offend nobody. I just know how the school systems is. And we know what goes on because we have to deal with them all the time. So I apologize if I've offended you about the homosexuals in the public school system. But we do have that. And that is an issue. And that's one of the biggest problems with our situations now with our school systems. Well, we had to, we moved the kids out, so we got the school up and running. And then we built the home in 2000. We built the home. We built the home, we got two dorms. We can house six boys and six girls. In a home. And they rent ages from school, from first grade to 12th grade is what we keep there. And we bring these kids, they say, well, where do you get them from? Well, we don't go looking for children. We don't kid shop. We sit by the phone, let the phone ring when there's a kid in trouble somewhere. There's a kid in trouble, they'll call our pastor up and they'll talk with Brother Danny Ray, they'll talk with him. And they'll talk about the situation, and then they'll decide to make a decision on whether they'll allow the kids to come or not. And then after talking, they'll allow the kids to come. They sign them into us for years, what they do. They sign them up for a year. We don't charge. We don't charge anything for the place. We don't. Secondly, we don't receive any state funding whatsoever. If we had to charge, we wouldn't have none of the children. We're not into money. We're not into making money. This is ministry work. It's all ministry. We're not interested in making money on it. Not interested in making money. We're looking to try to help some children along life's journey to get their lives on the right track. We're then going down life's journey and be somebody in their life. So they called Danny Ray up. They talked to Brother Danny Ray, and they talked with my pastor. And they make a decision whether that's what they want to do or not. And then they'll enroll them or they won't enroll them. We take care of the kids. What we do at the City Refuge is we take care of everything they need, from food, clothing, to what they've got to have. We take care of everything they need. The parents, we ask them if they can help with the book fees. They help with book fees. If they can, fine. If they can't, that's fine. But we take care of everything that they need. It takes about $80,000 a year to run the City Refuge, thereabouts. And what we do is we travel, go all around the churches, places, businesses, whatever, wherever somebody will open a door. Wherever they'll open a door, let us come in and share the City Refuge with them, where we can raise the funds to run the City Refuge. But we come just to ask you, you know, could you be a help to us? Again, you know, I apologize if I've offended someone. I've never done that before, and I do apologize. You know, I don't want to offend no one. I'm sorry. I apologize if I have offended you. Okay. I thought maybe I offended you. But that's the problem with our society today. And it's the people somewhere, someway, somehow, got to stand up and be counted for and make a difference. It's the people's lives. Just make a difference. Yes, sir. Our society is in bad shape, folks.
Yeah, that's right.
And if some of us don't stand up, there's not going to be nobody to stand up. You give this thing another 10 years, they ain't no telling what it's going to be like. There's no telling what it's going to be like another 10 years from now. But you pray for us. We appreciate your prayers. We need all the prayers we can get. That we'll always stay dead center of God's will. That's our most important thing. It's not really what my ideas are or what our preacher's ideas or Danny Ray's or anybody else's ideas. But it's, the main thing is always stay in God's will. We don't always do everything exactly right. Neither do you. Neither does anybody. Yeah, you get involved in the ministry, you'll find out a lot of things you don't know how to do. But you get involved in something, you just stay at it. Stay consistently at it, and God will guide and direct you in the way you need to go. But we ask for your prayers. We live in difficult days. These days that we live in are very difficult. And it's hard for teenagers. It's hard for young people. The devil's crowd's got everything under the sun out there to offer them. Anything they want, Satan will provide it for them. It doesn't matter what it is. Satan will provide it for them. Somewhere we got to help them. If we don't stand up and help them. I remember a long time ago, I'm going to bring the kids up. If y'all remember back when they took the prayer out of school, if y'all remember that little story, that little scenario, what happened was is that one person started that whole thing. And you know why? There was not one person, not one activist group, not one Christian group, not one political group, nowhere stood against that woman. Not one. And prayer was took right out of our school system. Not one. I don't know about you, but we need some people to stand. In these last days, to stand for truth, to stand for righteousness, because if we don't, we're going to lose another generation to the devil. And their blood's going to be on our hands for not doing something about it. Amen. I'm going to ask the kids, y'all come on up here, and we'll let them, I'll introduce you to the kids and everything, okay? Y'all come up. Sing, Michaela.
My side.
Amen. These are our little munchkins from the City of Refuge. Ain't they pretty?
Amen.
Amen. You gonna sing? You singing first? Yeah. Singing last. Munchkins. All right, we'll do munchkin. Come up here. Come up here, munchkin. Yeah. This is munchkin. I nicknamed it that. We got a Toby, Teddy, and a Tyler. But then she shows up. She's Taylor. They got too many T's. So I got Toby, Teddy, Tyler, Munchkin. That's what I've done. So I can keep them all straight. So she's on a little Munchkin. And I said, we got this. All right, say your verses first. You want to say your verses first? Yeah, say your verses.
John 14:14 and 15. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, if you let me keep my commandments. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Amen. They learn all kinds of scriptures. We're going to get some of them, quote a couple of things for you. We got time. But we got this little song that she likes to do. Y'all know the song? If you're saved, you know it, clap your hands. It's a participating song. Y'all know what that means, don't you? Say, preacher, he's getting ready. See him sit up? He's ready. You got to clap your hands, stomp your feet, and say amen, okay? Y'all sing it with her. You ready, Muskie? All right, you got to sing it, honey, my arms.
If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, and your face you surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're saved and you know it, and your face you surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved and you know it, and your face you surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
If you're saved and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
If you're saved and you know it, and your face you surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, do all three.
Amen.
All right. Now, wasn't that fun? You can have fun at church. That's right. You have a good time at church. This is Carl T. Whippersnapper down here on the end. He's my...
T stands for trouble.
He stays in trouble. But he's my buddy. Kenny, you going to video him?
No.
No? All right. You're lucky. He's going to be in the World Wide Web. Yeah. Well, if you get that one, that white one ready, that Sanctuary song, if you get that ready, and Toby, you got that microphone down there, buddy? Him and Toby going to sing a song for you. I tell you what, first, hey, Toby, quote your scripture for us real quick.
Okay. Romans 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come unto him and I'll sup with him and he with me. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Amen.
You will say yours? All right, he's going to quote your scripture first too.
Ephesians 2:1-10, and you hath he quickened whom dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the principality of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of flesh and mind, and were by nature children of wrath even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heaven, placed in Christ Jesus, that in the ages coming might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are saved through faith, that not ourselves to get to God, not a works lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God foreordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
is you, Lord, who came to save the heart and soul of every man. And it is you, Lord, who knows my weakness to give me strength with thine own hands.
Lord,
me from within, fill my heart with your Holy Spirit, and take away all my sins.
Lord,
sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
Amen. Say yours.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. 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 Amy's not been with us too long.
She's been with us long. Cordis is on 2 weeks tomorrow.
Yeah, Cordis has been with us a couple weeks. And now Carl T. Whipperson, he's been with us since his high.
Yeah. He was seven.
7 years old.
Six.
You know, if you turn that other like redeemed song on for us, please, and we'll do that for you. You ready? Sing for Jesus.
When I think of all my faults and my failures, when I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace he has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I can never earn His love on my own. Yet every time I come before His throne, I say every day by the blood of a lamb, I say every day before the great I am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hands that brought my liberty. Even at my best, I am unworthy. I have nothing precious I can give. A broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it is a priceless gift to Him. The bitter mark of sin will never fade away, but I can come before Him unashamed. I say every day by the blood of the Lamb, I say every day before the great I am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hands that brought my liberty. The blood of a lamb, I say redeemed before the great I am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hands that brought my liberty. I say redeemed, I say redeemed, I say.
Again, we live in a day that churches, I don't know why they find it. Churches just really don't like helping one another for some reason. You'll find that, you know, everybody got their own little thing going on. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Their own little deal. And they don't like, they won't reach out to someone else in the community and help. You know, they don't go to nursing homes and won't go to the homeless shelters and won't do these type of things. And I find, as older I get, that, you know, you ain't going to cross your teeth exactly where I cross mine. You're going to dot your eye, maybe a little different, I dot mine. But we can still all work together for the cause of Christ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right,
you know what I'm saying?
We can all work together
for the cause of Christ, you know? We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
We can work together to win the lost. Jesus said,
amen.
It'll be amazing. It'll literally be amazing what would be accomplished if our custodian, they call it, would all work together.
Yeah, right.
Now, I'm not talking about hooking up with other believers. I'm not talking about none of that stuff. I'm talking about those that are born again, washed to the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, come on.
That believes in Jesus. If our good neighbors get together, hand in hand, you would turn the country around.
Amen.
You make a major difference in our society.
Amen.
They're going to sing a song. We will stand up. Maybe you'll, hope you enjoy this one. Go ahead, girls. Go ahead, sir. Thank you.
Sometimes it's hard for me to understand why we pull away from each other so easily, even though
We're walking the same road, yet we build dividing walls between our brothers and ourselves. But I don't care what label you may wear. If you believe in Jesus, you belong with me. The bonds we share is all I care to see. We can change the world forever if you'll just join with me. Join and sing, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no brother that can defeat us. We're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. The day will come when we will be as one, and with the mighty voice together we will proclaim to Jesus, Jesus is King. We'll echo through the earth, shake the nations, and the world will sing and sing, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me together we will work until he comes. There's no fear that can defeat us. We're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. Take me by the hand. Join with me, join and sing. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us. We're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us. We're walking side by side.
Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Sean, say your scripture.
Ephesians 6:10-11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and staff comfort me.
We're going to do this. I love that question. We'll do one more. I'm sweating bullets. We'll do this one more. It's Amazing Grace. It's our version of Amazing Grace. I've learned that every now and again, we get going down through life's journey, we just kind of stop and look back at God brought us from. You know, just kind of look back. Where we've been. Now, God don't need none of us.
Amen.
See, I learned that. God uses me. God lets me participate in His master plan of life. But He take me and park me on the shelf. What did I say? Another old drunk. Clean him up. Put him in church.
Yeah.
Give him my job tomorrow.
Well, you're right.
God don't need me.
Right.
God
right.
don't need none of us.
That's right.
This thing was going along before any of us ever come along. It'll be going along after we're all gone. But every now and again, we just kind of stop and thank God for what He's done for us.
Amen.
His amazing grace is showing our lives. We'll sing this last one real quick.
Thank you, sir.
Sing it, honey.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. His promise good to me, His words my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. Like snow, the sun forbears to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen, preacher. It's amazing grace. That's what it's all about. It's all about Him. Who He is. Why He came. To save a wretch like me. I thank y'all for allowing us to come. I'm going to have to quit. I'm sweating bullets. And I thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. I just leave you with this one thought. Will you help us? We're just trying to help some kids. God seemed fit to put a place over on our piece of property called the City Refuge. God brings kids in and out all throughout the years. We celebrate our 12th anniversary Sunday. Next Sunday, 12 years. God's paid all the bills from the very beginning. God sent every student from the very beginning. Every one of them. Just give you a golden opportunity to get involved in something and let God bless you for helping somebody else. Thank you again for letting us come. God bless you, preacher.
Amen.